and welcome. I'm Dennis Prout, Certified Financial Planner.
And I'm Shay Pataja, the co-host of
New Retirement Radio,
the podcast.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and the opinions given are for informational purposes only and are not intended as financial, tax, accounting, or legal advice, and are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their individual needs with an appropriate professional.
And welcome to another edition of New Retirement Radio with Prout Financial Design. Dennis Prout is not in with us today. We have Heidi is here. Heidi Thompson is the office manager, but you are a financial advisor, yes?
Yes, I am. I am a financial advisor as well, and I'm here with Shay.
Shay Pataja is in, the chief experience officer. Good morning, Shay.
Good morning. And we have a special guest with us today, Bob Simpson. He is the district manager of the Social Security Administrative Office here in Traverse City. And this is going to be an exciting show, folks. Bob is fun, and he makes Social Security fun and interesting. Yeah. And I said, Bob, come on the air and tell us all the secrets of Social Security. And he says to me,
there are no secrets.
There are no secrets.
Oh, my goodness. That's the secret. There are none.
Yes. So everything can be told here today. You heard it live.
That is true.
So, yeah, we're going to go through. We've got a bunch of information as, you know, how do they get in touch with the Social Security office because of COVID and people working from home? And how do you make an appointment? What do you need to bring to your appointment? And then we've got a bunch of very interesting questions, things you wouldn't think of until perhaps it's your situation. And we're taking calls.
Yeah, the phone lines are open, 947-0023. That's 231 area code, 947-0023. Text line is 70236. And, you know, I don't know when, recently in the last 2 years, I had reason to go to the Social Security office in Traverse City. I don't know why. I don't even know if it was for me.
Were you practicing?
I don't know why, but I'll tell you, the service was outstanding. There was no wait. The people were friendly and knowledgeable. And, you know, see, I was really like, oh, boy, here we go, bureaucracy. Yeah, but it was wonderful. Yeah. So
great. Yeah, great. Good to office. Hear that. Thank you.
Yeah. And then was that at the new building over?
On Division by Meyer,
yep.
Sort of?
Yep. Yeah. But Meyer and Tom's.
Right yeah, there. Yeah, right,
yep.
Right.
Yep. Very good.
Yep.
Glad you had a good experience.
All right, so let's start
not
off.
Not saying I want to go back and do it again.
Yeah. No. I do it every day, Ron.
Well, every day for 35 years?
35 years, yes.
Is there anything you don't know about Social Security?
You know, it's a big bureaucracy, and there's a lot I don't know.
Oh, okay.
You know, we look stuff up a lot, and my technicians are working at home. They help me a lot. Oh. They're the experts. I'm not the expert. I'm the office manager.
You're like you're
I'm not the expert.
Well, and I also heard that you water the plants there.
Yes, because everybody's working at home. So one of the first things they said in March when everybody went home, I'm the one coming in the office and my assistant district manager, they said, hey, Bob, water the plants. Don't let them die. Okay, we won't let them die. And they look really good, Ron.
Multi-talented.
I think it's the hot air that's there. Maybe that's
this is too fun. I love it. Okay. And I don't think I've ever said that about Social Security. So, all right. What do you mean by there are no secrets?
Well, you know, it's funny because I'll read the newspapers and I'll see ads and they'll say, oh, the top 10 secrets of Social Security. Well, there aren't any secrets. We want you to know what's out there and what your benefit is. You've worked your entire life. You're working now. You're paying taxes. There are no secrets. We want you to go to our website, socialsecurity.gov. That's where all the answers are, folks. The answers are all there.
They're all there.
They're all there. And if you're confused with it, well, that's why we have a job. That's why I have a job, is to help you navigate through the bureaucracy and get what you're entitled to. That's what we do.
And you have, I think you said, 17 people working from home. So if people need to schedule an appointment, how do they do that?
Okay. When COVID hit, we emptied the office. Everybody's working at home. Mm. What we want people to do is to call us. Give us a call. Now, our national 800 number is 1-800-772-1213. That's from 8 in the morning until 5:30. And we want you to call that. And they have access to the computers. They're nationwide. And they can answer all the questions. If you need to go to the local office, I know, Ron, your audience is huge. I mean, I've heard you down in Grand Rapids. Yeah. You know, I've turned it in Grand Rapids. So,
Canada.
So the local, you can go to my local Social Security office. And we have offices in Traverse City, Cadillac, Petoskey, Alpena, Sault Ste. Marie, Escanaba. Where Dennis is right now.
Yeah. Wow.
So Dennis could be listening right now. Hi, Dennis. So, but call your local social security office. And what we're doing is we're making appointments for people. We try to answer their question if they call and say, hey, I've got a quick question. We'll try to answer it. But if they need an appointment, we'll set them up with an appointment. And they're usually within 2, 3, 4 days, we can get an appointment for them right now.
In the office?
No, it's over the phone.
Okay, over the phone.
Over the phone. We're very COVID, attentive and compliant. Yeah. So people are not coming into the office. So everything's being done over the mail and over the phone. And the good thing is, guys, it's the same questions.
Ah.
There's nothing different.
Huh.
It's the exact same questions we ask if you were in the office. But, you know, it's hard for everybody. We understand that you kind of want to look somebody in the eye. Some people are more comfortable with that. I like meeting in person myself, but hey, we've got difficult times and we're going to make the best of it.
That's right.
All right.
What are like most common questions that you get at your office?
Well, a lot of questions are, a lot of people come in for their replacement Social Security cards.
Okay.
That's a lot of our business. And then people are saying, hey, you know, I'm ready to file for retirement benefits. I'm disabled. Can I file for a disability benefit? Okay. Spouse dies. You know, children are involved in, people are disabled. So, yeah, that's why they would call us.
There's triggering events that happen.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
And what do you... Speaking as someone who likes to meet people face to face, like if I go to the bank, I like to bring my paperwork and show them. They probably don't need to see it as much as I feel comfortable showing them that I have it. What do you do with paperwork and trying to communicate things like, if someone's trying to collect on their spouse that passed away, or how do you follow through with that?
Or
former spouse
benefits?
Yeah, great question. What we would do is we would talk to them and take their application. And depending on what benefits they're eligible for, we might need certain documents. Usually we'd need to see like a birth certificate. Sometimes we'll need to see that. And we'll need to see like a marriage certificate or a divorce decree. So how are we doing this now? Now,
right.
you would bring it in. Normally, you would bring it in, say, hey, Bob, here you go. Here's my marriage certificate. And we would certify your records on the computer. So what you need to do now is talk to our claim specialist. And then what they'll do is they'll say, okay, mail your marriage certificate to us. So they have to do it through the mail.
Copies, right?
Nope, copies.
Oh, really?
Certified copies.
Certified.
So it has to have that raised seal that you get from the county clerk.
Okay.
Has to be a good record. And then what happens is I see it because I'm doing the mail in the office, okay? I see it. It comes in. I open the mail. And then what I'll do is I'll say, yep, this is a good record. And I'll scan it and certify it to my claim specialist who talked with you.
Okay.
And then mail it right back to you.
We don't need to keep them,
but we need to see the good document. And, and we understand that people don't want to get rid of that. They don't want to lose sight of it. But unfortunately, we have to do that now.
It's a lot of extra steps then on your end.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. But whatever needs to get done, we're going to do it.
Okay.
Yeah. I know a lot of people assume that the Social Security office is going to give them advice. So they'll come in and get advice from you and financial advice. Is that true?
A lot of people, like you said, Shay, a lot of people do come in and they say, hey, well, tell me what to do. And we do not give advice. We'll tell you what the facts are. We'll say, hey, at 62, you can get X amount of money. At 63, 64, or you could file on your spouse's record and get a little extra, or you have a former spouse you could go on. we're going to give you the facts, but we're not going to tell you this is what you can do. This is what you have to do. This is the best advantage for doing. We're not going to tell you that. We're going to tell you the facts.
Facts and options.
Facts and options. And then you need to decide for yourself, and that can be really confusing for folks.
And that's where a financial advisor can help as well, because we do a lot of research and we do a lot of training on the strategy of when to take Social Security, how should you take it, whose benefit should you draw on, and we work those into our financial plans. And what we're looking at is your income situation in retirement, and how's the best way to put those pieces together, and would it be better to wait on Social Security and use other assets in the meantime if you want to retire, or vice versa. So that's where we work in conjunction. So not only you go into Social Security, you should come in to a financial advisor or a CPA, a financial professional, and get that opinion so you can put those pieces together for the best option possible.
And how much of your income is Social Security supposed to cover? Because it's not meant to be your whole retirement.
It's not meant to be your entire whole retirement. It's supposed to replace about 40% of your income.
Okay.
So if you're working right now, and a lot of people are working and they're getting ready for retirement, you're going to think, hey, yeah, my Social Security is just going to replace all of it. No, it's 40%. It's for the average person, it's going to replace 40%.
Question: when you take your benefits, retirement benefits, Social Security, you look at the last 30 years or the highest earning 30. What's the formula there?
The formula we use is we take the highest 35 years of work. Okay, and what we do is we bring those wages, what you were earning back in the 70s and 80s, we bring those up to today's dollars.
Oh, so you
we
do it
index
really?
Them. Yeah, we index them, and we come up with a monthly primary insurance amount,
a monthly wage,
okay? And we use our calculations, and that's what we come up with, and come up with a 40% figure.
What's the highest figure that anybody earns from their Social Security? Do you know offhand?
It's pretty high. It's $3,000 a month.
Really?
It can be really high. Yeah.
So we should also probably point out that you have a minimum as well to be eligible for a benefit. Is that correct, right? It's like four.
Right. Yeah, you have to have 40 quarters of coverage. Mm-hmm. So that means that's 10 years of work.
Right.
So if you didn't work 10 years, you're not going to have a Social Security benefit.
Huh.
And remember, Social Security is insurance. So unless you pay your premium, you're not insured. So you have to have 10 years of work, then you can be insured for a retirement benefit.
So here's another strategy, just listening to this discussion. So say I was a stay-at-home mom for 10 years. So I have a big gap in my work history. So if I consider working longer, every year I work longer, I am replacing a year of zero in that 35-year history with actual wage information. So that's something you want to think about. If you do have some gaps, you might want to think about working a little longer to get that higher benefit, because you'll be replacing 0 years with something that has an actual number figure in there. So,
excellent point.
Speaking of the 70s, my friend, when I was in seventh grade, said, do you know that we could get Social Security cards? And we went, a couple seventh grade troublemakers, into the Social Security office and got our cards.
Right.
And my signature from back then, I still have it. The lamination is worn off, but the signature, nothing like mine. Do I need to replace that?
No, you don't need to.
It still works.
You have one Social Security number. Okay?
Yes.
It's for you, Ron.
But the signature is...
Signature's off. People's signatures change over the years. We get that.
Okay.
No, you don't need to do that.
We were bored. What can I say?
You were bored.
You know, people used to be able to come into the Social Security office, and we had like a standard supply of numbers, and we'd issue it to you. Now it's all done computerized.
Yeah.
It's all done by computer. So when you file for a replacement card or a new card, if you didn't have one, it's going to take about 10 days for you to get your card, and it'll be mailed to you.
All right. And the other question I had, too, was what's the cutoff? Some people don't pay into the Social Security insurance program. Was it over 120 grand a year?
Yeah, it's 130, okay. About 137,000. It's
and,
a lot.
And I always forget this. Why? Because some people say, wait a minute, how come those people that are above average income aren't paying into Social Security?
Because it's an insurance program and they've paid the max in their premium.
They already paid.
They're paying.
Oh, they are paying. But
they're paying up to that amount.
They do pay, but it's just a cutoff.
It's a cutoff, right. Okay. They don't get any more money.
Okay, that's it.
Yeah, they don't get any more money. It's just designed that there's a maximum on that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So everybody pays in, but nobody pays higher than a certain amount.
Right. Okay. But not everybody pays in, though. There's some folks that don't pay in, and that would be like some state officials, like state of Illinois, I believe. I used to work in Illinois, and at that time, they did not pay into Social Security. And some governmental organizations do not pay into Social Security. Like our local CMH here does not pay into Social Security.
So is that because they have some other benefit, the pension, or
they will have another. It's what happens is when the company is formed, then they can opt in or opt out if they meet certain criteria.
Okay,
and a lot, you know, like 98% of these businesses, no, you're in Social Security.
Yeah,
but if they're like a government, quasi government, then they can opt to pay in or not pay in.
Wow.
So that brings up a really good topic that we were going to ask about later. It's called the windfall elimination. And maybe Bob can talk about that, because this is something that if you don't pay in to the system, then there's ramifications of that. But also, if you had both, say you had history, like you have a job for 15 years and then you go work somewhere where you are in a job that doesn't pay into Social Security, what happens to your Social Security benefit in that case?
Great example, Heidi. We talked about how the highest 35 years is how we calculate your benefit. So in your example, you worked 15 years and then you had zero going in. So there'd be a lot of zero. The average Social Security benefit is meant to replace 40% of your wages for an average wage earner. For a lower wage earner, it's meant to replace up to 75%. So people who have low income, they're long-term, low-waged earners, they get a little better deal from Social Security. It's designed that way. They get a higher benefit. So in your example, so you worked 15 years, then you worked 20, 30 years for not paying in Social Security. You'll look at that record and say, oh, they don't have any income. They had low wages. They are a long-term, low-wage earner. And in reality, they weren't. Mm-hmm. They were paying into a different system. So what Congress did, they said, hey, we're going to adjust that figure, that Social Security figure, we're going to adjust it. So that's why this windfall elimination provision. Oh. So if you're not paying into Social Security right now and you're going to get a pension, you're probably going to fall under that. So you need to be aware you're not going to get all of that Social Security that you might see. That reminds me, how do you know what your record looks like? Go to a My Social Security account and go to socialsecurity.gov and sign up for a My Social Security account. When you do that, you're going to see your record. It's going to show you what your earnings were. It's going to give you an estimate of what your retirement, what your a survivor benefit would be. And what if you became disabled right now? You know, God forbid, but it happens. So that'll tell you. But at the bottom of that, it's going to show if you're getting a pension based on work not covered under Social Security, you're going to get less.
Okay.
It does say that. So you've got to be aware of it.
So another thing to bring up with your financial planner.
Yes. Right.
Yes. We should get a couple of quick calls, perhaps. First, we'll go to Sean is in Traverse City on WTCM. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning, Ron. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. Thank you, sir. You have a question
good.
Today?
I do, Bob. I'm eligible to retire here, and I'll be 52 at that point. And I've been paying Social Security for the last 25 years. If I do nothing, which is probably not going to be the case, but hypothetically, if I didn't get another job between now and 62, let's say, does the estimate that Social Security has provided me right now, does that go down or is that stay the same? And obviously, it'll probably go up a little bit if I continue to work in another job, correct?
Yeah, hi, Sean. Yeah, it's calculated as if you're going to continue working. So what you can do, is go to our website, socialsecurity.gov, and we have calculators there. So you can go in and you say, hey, I'm 52. What if I retire now? What would happen? So and there's calculators that'll tell you what will happen. Hmm. But that estimate that you have, that's good, that assumes that you're going to continue working until retirement or your full retirement age. Yes.
Okay, and that's assuming that I would be making the same as what I'm making now?
Yes, sir. So if you make more, you're going to get more, or if you make less, you're going to get a little less.
And if you only have that 25 years of work history, then you'll have some of those zeros in there.
Yeah, yeah. So anything you do, Sean, is going to boost it.
Okay, all right. I have about 30, I'll have 30 years, but the first six years I was working, I was part of MERS, and obviously MERS does not pay into Social Security, or they didn't when I started anyway, but so I do have some of those zeros to start out with.
Well, it sounds like if you keep working, that benefit will just keep right going up. So good luck. Okay. Yeah, that's excellent.
All
Very
right.
good.
All right. Thank you, Bob. Appreciate it.
You're
Thanks,
welcome.
Ron.
All right. Thank you, Sean, for the call as we go to Sutton's Bay, and Greg's on the line. Hello, Greg. Well, we'll go to Carolyn. Hi, Carolyn, hello.
Good morning. Thanks, guys, for being there to answer questions. This isn't really about retirement, but it's about survivor benefits for a 13-year-old child whose father just recently passed away at the age of 35. And he was collecting Social Security disability that, because he was under 18, he was filing under his father. So when he passed away, our question is, as his surviving daughter, is she eligible for Social Security?
Okay, Carolyn, thanks for that question. Now, are there two children involved, the 13-year-old and a daughter? Is that...
My son who passed away, and then my granddaughter is 13.
Okay. The 13-year-old is eligible for a survivor benefit. And children, they're eligible for benefit until they turn 18. If they're 18 and still in high school, it'll continue until they graduate from high school or reach age 19.
Even though her father was disabled before the age of 18 and drawing not on his earnings but on his father's.
The person who passed away, the father, if he is not insured, then there would be no Social Security benefit.
Okay. So because he was drawing on his dad,
right,
he wasn't insured,
right. It's worth a call, though, Carolyn. You should give us a call and check that out because we want to make sure everybody gets what they're entitled to.
Okay.
So have them call, and we can run a computer program to make sure that we're not leaving that child behind.
Okay, sounds good. Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you, Carolyn. So those benefits that the father, who deceased father was receiving, were Social Security benefits, and no Social Security money's taken out of that. Social Security tax is not taken out of
correct.
Social Security benefits.
That's correct.
Okay.
You're right. Yeah, so you pay Social Security tax on your earnings, okay? So wages.
Okay.
You're paying Social Security tax, and you also pay it when you're self-employed.
Okay.
You pay those taxes.
And this brings up another issue that we were going to talk about, which I think is pretty important, because there's a survivor benefit and there's a worker's benefit. And those have different rules, and they're differently applied than just each. It's not all the same thing. So if you could talk a little bit about the difference, what's a survivor benefit and who gets that, and then versus the worker benefit.
Okay, yeah. The worker is the person who's paying into Social Security, obviously. And what'll happen is the worker, they are insured for a retirement benefit. They can start as early as age 62. Their full retirement age is 66, anywhere between 66. Those born after 1960, the full retirement age is 67.
Mm-hmm.
So they're eligible for that retirement. They're also eligible for a disability benefit. So a disability is, our definition of disability is that you're so disabled that you cannot work at all, mm-hmm. and that disability lasts a year or longer, or result in your death. So if it's a short term, like you injure, you throw your knee out and you can't work for 6 weeks, well, you're not going to get Social Security disability. So it's got to be a long-term disability. And as you're working, you're paying that insurance. You're insured. You have to work 5 out of the last 10 years prior to your disability to be insured for a disability benefit. Now, as you're working also, you're have insurance for your survivors. So it's a survivor. It's like a life insurance policy is what it is. And who can collect on that would be your surviving spouse. And the spouse has to be age 60 or above, or if your spouse is age between 50 and 60 and they're disabled, a disabled spouse can, but receive a survivor benefit.
Unless they're caring for children.
Correct. Uh-huh. If they're caring for children and the children are under age 16, the mother or father can collect as a mother or father. And then children up until age 18 or 18 and still in high school until they graduate from high school or reach age 19. Yep. So or disabled children can also, if they're disabled before age 22, they can draw benefits off their parents' record.
So if you have a couple, say they're both 64, both collecting Social Security mm-hmm. benefits, and let's say the male dies, and he was collecting a higher rate. Mm-hmm. The female gets, the wife would get survivor benefits?
Yeah, yeah.
And the other socials, the worker benefits as well?
Well, no.
No.
The rule of thumb is...
Good try, though, Ron.
Yes,
good try.
Ron's trying. The rule of thumb is the higher record will continue. Okay. So let's say the person who died is getting $2,000 a month, and the person who's surviving is getting $1,500 a month. Well, what'll happen is if that person getting 2,000 died, well, then the other person would drop to 1,500 to keep the 2,000. And if the whatever, male or female, died and the spouse had the lowered would just stop and the higher would keep going.
Yeah. All right. Oh, where's your microphone there? Turn.
Hello. Can you hear me now?
There we go.
Check. 1, 2, 3. All right, I'm here.
Shea Patage.
I'm live. Hey, if this is overwhelming, confusing, exciting, fun, you know, lots of adjectives here. We have a class coming up called Retirement Planning Today, and we include the Social Security conversation in ways to think about income strategies in retirement. So that class is going, usually we hold those classes at NMC, but obviously we can't right now, so we brought them online. The classes are Tuesdays, October 6th and 13th from 6 to 8 p.m., or Thursdays, October 8th and 15th from 6 to 8 p.m. And you go, they're each 2 hours, so you're getting a total of 4 hours of teaching. You get a workbook that's emailed to you, and you can sit at home with your favorite cozy blanket and tea. And in Heidi's case, she loves tea. And tune in and watch the class. It's $39. I mean, you could have the entire family come over. Everyone. And for $39, all of you could watch the class.
It's an event.
It's an event.
It's a...
Yeah, you pick your safe
education
people.
Education party.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it could get crazy.
But for what you may learn for the $39 investment is pretty good.
No, it really is. So yeah. We go through life planning for retirement, retirement needs and expenses, retirement roadblocks and mistakes, income sources, plan distributions, investments, risk management and asset protection, and proper estate planning. And Dennis and Heidi will tag team and go back and forth on the topics, and I'll be hosting it and moderating your questions. It's on Zoom, so you can drop in your questions and interact with them as we go along. And, you know, I think that's actually, when you're in a class and you raise your hand and you're afraid your question's going to be dumb, people typically just won't ask it, or they'll wait till after. This is the privacy of your home. In that chat, just like you're texting, you can interact and ask questions that maybe you'd be afraid to ask in a group setting. But those questions end up helping everyone out. You learn from other classmates, and it's a lot of fun. I mean, I started with Dennis in 2007, and he started teaching this class in 2006. So we've been doing it a while, and it's I've not found better material ever for retirement classes than this. So if you can sign up, you can sign up for Tuesday's class or Thursday's next week, considering it's already October.
Starting next week, you can
yes.
sign up?
Well, not, right now.
Oh,
you
now
go
you
online.
Can. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
If you go to proutfinancialdesign.com, there's three opportunities on that homepage for you to sign up for the class. You enter the code. It's online. You pay online, and you get your workbook on an email. So,
all right.
Let's take a call.
Retirement Planning Today, proutfinancialdesign.com. Mm-hmm. All right. Mr. Robert Simpson is in, District Manager, Social Security in Traverse City, along with Heidi and Shay from Prout Financial Design. And on the phone, Steve is in Sheboygan. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. I have a question. I'm a disabled veteran at 100%, and I'm also drawing. I'm 76. I'm drawing my Social Security from my work history, and somebody had told me that I could draw or apply for disability under the Social Security Act also. Is that true or not true?
Well, Steve, that is somewhat true. It's not true for you because of your age. When you file for a disability benefit, if you're under your full retirement age, what we do is we kind of calculate a retirement benefit or which becomes your disability benefit. We say, hey, Steve was disabled at age 50, so we figure out his retirement benefit, and we don't penalize you for the highest 35 years at that point. So we say, hey, Steve was disabled at that point, and that becomes your retirement benefit. So once you reach your full retirement age, that is your retirement benefit. So in your example, Steve, you wouldn't be eligible for any more Social Security. But disabled veterans such as yourself, I mean, if they're under their full retirement age, they should file for Social Security benefits if they're disabled and not able to work.
Okay. All right. Then I was misinformed by somebody, but I appreciate your answer. Thank
very
you.
Very good.
Thanks. Steve, thank you very much, sir, for calling today, Steve in Sheboygan. And Rob is in Bel Air on WTCM. Good morning, Rob.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. Kind of a two-pronged question. I went on Social Security last year. I was 65, and I signed up for Medicare at the same time. And the agent there said, well, would you like to sign your wife up? She's 62 in the window the time I was sitting there. She turned 62. She's eligible. And I said, sure, let's do it. So we've been receiving Social Security, both her and I. She's in the marketplace with insurance. I'm in Medicare. Now, when she turns 65, does she have to go on mandatory Medicare then?
Yeah, what's going to happen is she's automatically going to be enrolled in Medicare, A and B. She doesn't have to take B, but because you're not working and she's probably not working, she probably wants to keep Part B, but that'll be done automatically for you guys, Rob. And that'll be all set up, and you'll start getting some mail, you know, 3 months before, and mm-hmm. she'll automatically get it.
Okay. And then the second prong of the question is, when do can she apply for her own benefit at some point rather than be receiving Social Security under mine?
Well, when she filed at 62, we probably checked out her own record first. But what she could do is she could give us a call and say, hey, I want to see if I can get any more on my own record. Because what we do is we put people on their own record first, and then we put them on their spouse's record. So
yeah.
The odds are she's probably getting the most she can, but you feel free to give us a call, and we'll check it out for her.
Yeah, I seem to remember that conversation now. Okay, I thank you very much.
All right, Rob and Bel Air, thanks for the buzz there. About quarter to the hour. Social Security, you guys handle all the Medicare questions too? Is that under your domain?
Well, what we do, Ron, is we sign people up for Medicare.
Okay.
So once people are on Medicare, if they have Medicare questions and coverage and things like that, they need to go to Medicare.gov. We're in charge of signing them up, and they become, if you're insured for Social Security, then you're insured for Medicare. Okay. And you can purchase your Social Security or your Medicare and get your premiums all set up, and you do that through Social Security. We sign you folks up for it.
And there are a lot of options, so you want to plan ahead.
Yes.
Yes.
Plan ahead.
Can you give the number one more time, though?
The phone number to contact us is 1-800-772-1213. That's 8 in the morning to 5:30.
You're listening to New Retirement Radio, brought to you by the team at Prout Financial Design.
Hello, I'm your host, Certified Financial Planner Dennis Prout.
And I'm the other financial advisor, Heidi Thompson.
And I'm Shay Pataja. I put the fun in financial.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and the opinions given are for informational purposes only and are not intended as financial, tax, accounting, or legal advice, and are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their individual needs with an appropriate professional.
And welcome back to New Retirement Radio with Prout Financial Design. Shay Pataja is in along with Heidi Thompson and special guest, the District Manager for Social Security in Traverse City, Mr. Robert Simpson, answering questions about Social Security.
It's always fun to have Bob on the show, so thanks for taking the time.
You're welcome.
I've got some Shay stats for you, so let's go and talk about birthdays, considering we're talking about age today. With 57 people in a room, there is a 99% chance that two people in the group have the same birthday. With 32 people in a room, there is a 75% chance that two people in the group have the same birthday. With just 23 people in a room, there is a 51% chance that two people in the group have the same birthday.
I'm surprised.
I know, it's shocking,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
But that's in our own family. Like, we have, we've got like four matching birthdays.
Wow.
It's crazy.
Wow.
Anyways, I don't know what to think about that other than I think it's cool. All right, let's talk about COVID. This is called I Hope They Are Right. 159 of 224 global money managers surveyed, so that's 71%, in September of 2020 anticipate that a credible vaccine for COVID-19 pandemic will be found by January 30th of 2021, or within 4 months. The 224 managers oversee $600 billion of assets, and that's from the Bank of America's Global Fund Manager.
Well, I hope they're right, too, because that would be great if we could
71% think we'll see a vaccine sometime in the first quarter or early second quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And let's hope the vaccine is effective on everybody, too.
Let's hope
it works.
That the virus doesn't mutate. All right. What else?
Yes. So, looks like last January 2nd of 2020, the national average interest rate for a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage was 3.72%, producing a $461 monthly principal and interest payment per $100,000 borrowed. The same $461 payment at last week's 2.9% national average would allow a home buyer to borrow $110,855, and that's from Fannie Mae. So we talked last week about people going into bigger homes because they're working from home, they're homeschooling. The low interest rates certainly are helping people get into homes they couldn't afford
before. Under 3%, the national average.
Yes.
Crazy.
Isn't that crazy?
Afford more.
Yeah. All right.
Yep. All right. I'll just do... let me do one more because we've got some Social Security stuff to cover. The 9.1% drop in the size of the U.S. economy between the second quarter of 2019 and the second quarter of 2020 was a smaller decrease than the decline that took place in India, down 25.2%, the U.K., which is down 20.4%, Mexico, down 17.1%, France, down 13.8%, Italy down 12.8%, and Canada down 11.5%. And this stat is from the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development.
How do you...
All righty.
All right.
righty.
Couldn't even help yourself, could you? there's the Shea stats for this week, and I know for sure before we wrap up, we want to cover two topics if we have time. But first, let's start with scams and fraud and the dark side of...
Right. Yeah. Just off the top question, raise your hand if you've received a call from Social Security and they need to talk to you right away. Oh, my gosh. Isn't that crazy?
Poor Ron, you're left out of the party.
Colleen's raising her hand. Oh, my gosh. It's just rampant. It is everywhere. Mm-hmm. And just want to assure everybody, we're not the ones calling you, okay? These are scammers. And what we want you to do is hang up on them. Okay, don't play along, because literally the other day I received a call that says, Bob, somebody is using your Social Security number and they're on the Texas-Mexican border and you need to call and talk to the officer. And yeah, it's like, oh my goodness gracious. So what we want you to do is hang up, don't talk to them, do not engage, okay? Right. Hang up, don't engage, because they are fraudsters. And what we want you to do is call our fraud hotline. And that number is 1-800-269-0271. Let me give it again one more time. 1-800-269-0271. You can call that, or you can go to our website, socialsecurity.gov, and you can file the report. And we want you to report, because we track the activity of these fraudsters, and we want to go after them. If we can find out who they are, we're going to go after them and prosecute them, because they are scamming seniors. They're scamming everybody. And the sad thing is, it's working. They're getting away with it. That's why they keep doing it. Mm. So report it, folks. Report
pretty good story, though. I mean, if somebody says, hey, if someone's not using your Social Security card right now and they're on the border.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people might say, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, but just hang up.
Just hang up. You know, it's a scam. We at Social Security, my reps, they're not going to call you unless you've called us. If you're dealing with Social Security, now we do reviews for people. You know, if they're receiving an SSI benefit or a disability benefit, we're going to send them a letter saying, hey, we're going to call you. But you know well in advance, you know, and most people will know their worker, their claim specialist that they're working with. And if you suspect there's a fraud, hang up. And people do that, you know, we've called them and said, hey, you have an appointment at 9:00. I'm calling this 9:00. And they go, oh, it's a fraud call. It's a fraud call. They'll hang up and they'll call us back. Well, yes, Mrs. Okay. Smith, yeah, it is us. But we want them to do that we'd prefer them to be cautious than get taken advantage of. It's horrible.
And don't give them your Social Security number.
Do not give that number.
Okay. Well, we ran out of time. I wanted to go into, if you're a business owner and you're deciding, we talked about whether or not people pay into Social Security and what happens then. So can you, in 60 seconds, give some thoughts there?
I sure can. If you're self-employed and that's your tax status, that's your business, you're going to be paying double the Social Security tax. And what I mean by that is you pay the 6.2% because you're an employee. But because you're an employer, you're paying an additional 6.2% plus the Medicare double tax.
Mm. Wow.
So self-employed people, if you're making a profit, you're paying a lot of Social Security tax because you're both. But hey, you're rocking it because you're self-employed. You're doing your own thing.
You're the
love
boss.
That. You're the boss. You got to love that.
So just do it is what you're saying.
There you go. Just do it.
All right. Want to remind our listeners, go to proutfinancialdesign.com. That's where you can check out our classes, our current financial plan offer, which is at 50% off. To get one of those done up for you. And we have all of our radio shows are on that website, or go to iTunes and you can listen to the radio shows there as well. So thanks for listening today. Thank you, Bob, so much for being in. And
thank
Heidi, you always have great insight to things.
Yes,
we
thanks,
will
Bob.
See you next week.
Thanks so much for listening. You can find us online at proutfinancialdesign.com. That's P-R-O-U-T, financialdesign.com. Also, you'll be able to find us on iTunes and SoundCloud.